Welcome everybody to episode 24 of Four Color Sequentials. I'm Luis Quevedo.
I'm Dominic Siragusa.
And this is actually episode 24. My apologies. Last episode, I don't know if you noticed, I said episode 24. That was episode 23. Episode 23 was, I don't know, it's been a while since we last recorded. What was the last episode we did? Was it Jurassic
World? Yeah, Jurassic World.
So, yeah, sorry. 2 weeks. I mean, it's been a while, yeah. We're back, and Dominic's back in town, so we got enough time to record again. But yeah, this is episode 24 instead of last time. Let's start with what have you read? I know you've been out of town, so I don't know if you've had much of a chance to read.
Yeah, Justice League of America, number one, mm-hmm. Brian Hitch's book. It was alright. It looked great.
Well, yeah, with Brian Hitch.
It was a little boring. Not much happened.
Handling it, right? Writing
it. It was cool. Really, really liking Superman Action Comics.
Mm-hmm.
I've liked that a lot. I'm trying to think what else I've picked. I've picked up a couple other things.
Is the relationship between Lois and Superman amicable?
They don't really talk about it in Action Comics. It's in the regular Superman title. Okay. That story just came out, so it's behind everything, which is a little weird.
Okay. Yeah, because I mean, from the preview, they made it seem like they aren't, but it's weird. It's weird.
But that's about it. And I finally read Batman 42.
Was that?
That was the most recent. The newest one comes out, I think, in a week or two.
Okay. Yeah, this week, Wednesday.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what do you think of the
Batman? I really liked it. That final panel's a little odd. I mean, I'm excited to see where it goes.
Well, should we spoil it?
Yeah, why not? Spoil it.
Yeah, it would appear Bruce is still alive. I mean, we kind of knew, but he's kind of staying hands off so far, which is the interesting part. So it'll be cool to see where they take that. I really like Gordon as
Batman. I enjoy it.
He's I don't know. Gordon's always been kind of a likable character. Other than Batman, I think he may be the most likable out of that cast of characters.
Yeah.
I've had a chance to read a couple things here and there, but the only book I wanted to highlight was Gotham Academy number 7,
right.
Which is kind of like a middle book. Like the first arc is 1-6, and then next one will start 8 forward, and 7 is kind of a nice little breather issue sort of. And so far, probably one of my top books of the year. Anytime you can do a good one shot story, I always enjoy it. The art is handled by Ming Helen Chen. Man, I really hope I didn't mess up her name. But she did a lot of conceptual work for, or storyboard work for Big Hero 6.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of like that Disney almost animated style. And it's just really, well done tale. I know you, it's worth picking up Gotham Academy.
I will at some point.
It's a little, I mean, when Nick read it, he didn't like it, but it's a little all ages, so maybe that's why he was turned off by it. But I don't know, that kind of makes a book more appealing to me sometimes, because anybody could pick it up.
Yeah.
Let's move on to news. A lot of big news.
Lots of news.
Okay. What do you want to start with?
Let's start with Batman vs. Superman stuff, or just DC Comics and DC Cinematic Universe in general.
Or DC... DCCU.
DCCU. So, a lot of actual official news is finally coming out about Batman versus Superman. You got some official images, some stills, some information about scene descriptions, mm-hmm. Batman's age, which is... Have you read anything or no?
I've seen the pictures, like the preview pics. I read something today about the reason why Batman's kind of getting involved, which is obviously what happened to Man of Steel, you know, the destruction at the end.
Then did you see that one of his, Wayne's buildings collapsed?
Yeah, it collapsed, and he knew people that were in the building. So that's kind of, it's almost turning into not really a revenge story, but.
I think it's a cool take.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about his age, though?
How old did they say
Wayne Manor's, like, dilapidated and broken down.
I didn't know about this part of it.
So he's supposed to be, like, it sounds like he's been the Batman for at least, like, I think it's 15 to 20 years.
course, he's been doing it for a while. Okay.
Or no, maybe 10 to 15, mm-hmm. but at least 10 years. So he's been the Batman for a while.
So let's say he started at 30 some odd. He's 40s to 50s. And,
yeah. So I mean, do you think that's? Do you think they should have made him? My voice cracked. Do you think they should have made him younger? Or?
Not necessarily. I mean, for the take that they seem to be going with this, that Superman isn't the seasoned kind of hero that he has been in the comic books, at least. With everybody looking to Batman maybe for guidance, I think it fits.
All right.
Because from all evidence so far, they don't look like they're going to have John Jones be a Martian Manhunter, yeah. be part of the league. And he's kind of like the sage of the league. So I think they're going to have Batman fill that role. And it works. I mean, it's not like, you know, 50-year-old Ben Affleck is going to be obviously a lot better physical specimen than 50-year-old me.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's okay. It's believable.
So, I mean, I'm excited. I'm excited for it. And I can't. So, who knows what they're going to announce at Comic-Con. The rumor is they're going to announce all the other casting rumors. So we might get a Green Lantern, and we may find out if Affleck... The other news is that Affleck, in 2018, will be directing the Batman.
Right, it's still just a rumor. Just a rumor. It's not official yet.
So. Mm-hmm. But he did acknowledge that he is interested in directing one of the movies.
I wouldn't be surprised. I think he's bought into this, you know. He has a stake in it, so.
And now everybody keeps talking about the shots being fired back and forth. Did you see those articles about the things he said about Marvel movies?
No, I
calling them glib.
I mean, why can't we just get along? You know, it's just, why do we gotta be childish about this? You know? It's like we're back in the old DC and Marvel bullpen days where they just shoot back and forth. It's unnecessary.
I don't know. So we'll see. I think it'd be awesome if he directed the Batman movie. Mm-hmm. So, and he's got his guy. What's his name? Chris Terrio? Is that the guy's name? The guy that wrote Argo.
Yeah, yeah.
The guy who's writing everything now for them.
It seems like it. Yeah.
He wrote. He did like he cleaned up Batman vs Superman, writing mm-hmm. Justice League, and rumor is he'll write the Batman.
Wasn't he doing Aquaman too? I thought at one point.
Oh, is he? I didn't know.
I thought they said he was. Yeah, what else? Spidey? We'll talk about Spidey.
I mean, everybody's talking about it. We can talk about it. I haven't actually.
Is everybody talking about it? Because, I mean,
oh, no. This is everybody's like, oh, that's cool, I guess. There's nothing special about it. And the fact that it's the third Spider-Man in, like, 7 years.
Well, I mean, it's a young Spider-Man for once. Or the youngest so far. I know that's not a big deal. I mean,
he's still white.
Yeah. Everybody, I guess, was really hoping for Miles Morales to show up. And that doesn't mean he can't.
I was thinking about this the other day. Why aren't any of the kids from Dope Spider-Man?
I saw your post on it. Yeah. It would have been a more interesting
the
choice.
Kid,
I'll give
main,
you that.
The main kid from Dope. I can't remember his name right now. But kid's great. Why isn't he Spider-Man?
Well, you saw the news, right? About the Sony email leak thing. How they've worked out a deal where Spider-Man has to fit certain criteria. Being Caucasian has to be one of them, apparently.
That is unbelievable.
Which is, yeah, I mean, it's a little silly. It is. It really is. But that doesn't mean that it's not something they can't change in the future. You know, they're bringing Miles Morales into the regular Marvel universe.
Isn't he going to be the main Spider-Man, too?
There's going to be two Spider-Men running around. So it's still going to be Peter Parker and Miles. But Miles is going to fit kind of the role of what we've come to expect of Peter Parker, which is a hard luck hero, you know, the nice guy.
Yeah.
And you know, he just doesn't have much luck. Versus Peter Parker is becoming successful. You know, he's got his own company running and... Yeah, the Peter Parker Spider-Man book is kind of going to become an international book. He's actually going to travel a lot. And I don't know if you saw, but one of the things they're going to do is, you remember, and I think it was in the comic books as well as the cartoon, but at one point, the explanation for Iron Man being around or showing up when Tony Stark was there was that that was his bodyguard. So that's kind of the explanation that if Spider-Man shows up around Peter Parker or any situations where he's at, it's because Spider-Man's his bodyguard. So that's kind of the take there.
That's cool.
It'll be interesting.
I mean,
to see.
The casting, it. It's cool, I guess.
The kid is excited for it. I was happy for him, you know?
That's cool. I mean, he gets to be Spider-Man. There's nothing exciting about it. Other than finding out who it is, there's nothing exciting about it.
Well, one good thing, at least. Well, not just because of the casting, but Feige said that it won't be... In the next Spider-Man movie, we'll see a new villain. It won't actually be the Green Goblin or, you know, Venom again. They want to do someone new. Any preferences?
Kraven.
Yeah, I think that's the one everybody wants to see.
Kraven.
What else? Any other movie news?
Deadpool images came out. They look cool.
It looks great. Yeah.
let's see. Since the last time we talked, Hugh Jackman will be in X-Men Apocalypse.
Where's the source for that confirmation?
That's a good question.
Because I mean, I've heard of it. I heard it in Fat Man on Batman.
I've seen it a bunch of places.
But I never saw where the confirmation came in from.
I think it was Heroic Hollywood, but I could be wrong.
Okay. Because I figured it was just another Latino review.
Is the guy that runs Heroic Hollywood now.
I think you mentioned that to me. Yeah, that's right. Which is then just a confirmation anyway. All right. You're right.
But, so it sounds like it's going to be X-Men Apocalypse and then one last go around in,
Old Man Logan?
If that's what it is, which fingers crossed, I hope it is.
Yeah, I really do. I mean, the hurdle with that is there's so many heroes you can't use, like Hawkeye.
Yeah.
And I don't want to ruin it in case, you know, somebody watches the movie, but. I mean, you can fill those roles. How many mutants are there?
Yeah.
Deadpool also, not a confirmation yet, but looks like it's going to get the hard R rating, which is what it deserves.
Yeah. Other movies, there's not really anything else.
I think you said you didn't see any of the post-Secret Wars Marvel
books. No, I
haven't.
You can tell me about that.
I mean, it's almost a line-wide relaunch. Everything's starting off at
number one.
Yeah.
This is their new 52.
Somewhat. I mean, you're not wiping away the past, which makes me wonder what is going to happen at the end of Secret Wars. But, it's completely new creative teams and new books, a whole bunch of new X-Men books. Old Man Logan is going to be in the regular Marvel Universe, Miles Morales. There's going to be a couple of holdovers. A couple of interesting books, like similar to what DC did. I don't think as extreme, where DC has a kind of an indie feel now with a lot of its books, but Marvel's doing something different for sure. Any other news to cover?
No, not that I can think of.
Yeah, I mean, the big news will be, we'll probably wait till...
There is Marvel having trouble. The story that came out about Marvel's having trouble with Iron Fist.
With Iron Fist, okay.
Did you see why they're having trouble?
Whether to make it a mystic story or not? I mean,
integrating the mystical element into it.
I mean, I don't see the problem here. You know?
Yeah.
You've got the hand already showing up, and unless they're going to keep the hand as... pure ninjas. I mean, the hand is as mystic as it gets, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, having Doctor Strange pop over and as a cameo for one episode, it's like, oh, okay, so this is the world we're living in, you know? I don't see the issue. I don't know why. This is a non-issue to me. Come on, guys. You know, get your act together. It's easy to fix.
He's going to be the last one, though, anyways, it sounds like.
You know what it's starting to sound like is that they said, well, we're in for Jessica Jones, so we're going to keep it. But forget Luke Cage and Iron Fist. We'll get to that around. Let's work on Daredevil Season 2 and just milk that cow right now. I mean, as long as it's good, hey, I'm happy for it.
I'm all for it.
But, yeah, I mean, it's almost like, yeah, we were excited for Luke Cage and Iron Fist, but Daredevil is doing really good. So we'll keep going with that. All the big news will be out next weekend
next week.
Or starting Thursday with
Comic-Con.
Yeah, San Diego Comic Con. So we'll have a big
Saturday's gonna be a big day. So Monday will be a good day to talk.
Yeah, we'll have a big blowout day and talk about all that stuff Monday, or not tomorrow Monday, but next week Monday. Since we didn't have a chance to do so, and you were out of town, I was gonna try to record with my brother. But he ended up being real busy, and then I had somebody leave work, so I was real busy, and I've been working hellish hours, so we just couldn't record. But our plan was to have the Father's Day special, so we'll have a...
abridged version.
An abridged version. You want to do five best dads, and I'll do five worst?
Five best? All right, I can try. See if I can get five.
All right. Do you want me to go first, or you want
to
try
to go first? It's always easier to get five good moms, five dads, like...
Oh, they were...
Dads are just crappy.
I had
in all fiction, dads are crappy. Except Atticus Finch and...
Oh, man. I had a...
And God. But he can be bad sometimes, too, for some people.
Oh, gosh.
All right. Let's see if we have five good ones. We got... do we consider Uncle Ben a father? Because he's a father figure.
Yeah. Like, so because we had moms that weren't literal moms. And
Uncle Ben... Jonathan Kent.
Mm-hmm.
I got two. Come back to me. Give me some bad ones.
So I'll give you two bad ones. And I'll give you the who and the reason why. We'll start with number five, which is Goku from Dragon Ball Z.
Alright.
The reason why, never around, would rather train in the afterlife than be with his family. And the dude's just always dying. He'd rather die than be with his family. I mean, no, he's saving the Earth. I mean, I get it. You know, he's saving the universe. But for a guy that, you know, has, what, three kids? Or is it just two? Because it's Gohan and Goten. Yeah. He'd rather have Piccolo take care of him and train him than do his job as a dad. So for never being around, we pick Goku. Or I pick Goku. All
right.
And number four, this one's kind of odd because he's not literally the dad, but... Hank Pym for creating Ultron.
That's a good one.
Well, and you know, it's kind of a sad story. I know you haven't read Rage of Ultron yet, right?
No.
You know, that kind of advances that story a bit, but I don't want to ruin it. I'll let you read that one day because it's a good story. I liked it a lot.
I'm gonna go with Uncle Ben.
Mm-hmm.
He gave us with great power comes great responsibility. So. Mm-hmm. There is no Spider-Man without Uncle Ben. Jonathan Kent. There is no Superman without Jonathan Kent. Just the all-American father figure.
Yeah.
And he's got an adopted son. He's an adopted parent, so.
True.
Three. This is no particular order, but I'm gonna throw Batman in there. I would say he was worst. He was a bad father. He was a pretty crappy father, but he's moving in the territory of good father. I mean, he brought his son back to life. So.
See, the only reason I didn't pick Batman is because how much good he's done with other kids. Yeah. I mean, he did adopt Dick Grayson. He did adopt Jason Todd. He took these kids out. And not just them, you know, as an extension, Barbara Gordon and all these other guys. So I think the good he's done far outweighs the bad he's done.
He didn't know he had a kid.
Yeah. So he was drugged. He was raped, practically. So.
Yeah, I mean... three there. Four, I would say, pre-New 52 Aquaman.
Mm-hmm.
Cutting his hand off for the kid.
Okay.
Well, depends on which take.
Well, yeah, I guess that kind of depends on the story.
Sure. All depends on the continuity. But either way, King of Atlantis,
mm-hmm.
raising his kid. Good husband.
Good leader. He's a good leader, I would say that.
Five, you're going to have to come back to me on five.
Okay, so I'll give you two more. Number three for me, list of worst dads, is Ra's al Ghul.
Ah, that's a pretty bad one.
I wrestled with this one until I remembered one detail. Nyssa, which you may know from Arrow, is a character from the comics. A daughter that, you know, was kind of forgotten. And this is one of the main reasons why I picked him. He abandoned Nyssa Rotko, which is her name in the comics, to the Nazis. That's almost enough right there. He abandons his family during World War II and leaves Nyssa to a Nazi concentration camp.
It's a pretty bad dad.
That, and he manipulates Talia. He won't let her lead the league. He'd rather try to find her a husband to lead for her. And Dusan. You know Dusan? He's kind of a newer concept, but his albino son.
Oh, yeah.
During the return of Ra's al Ghul storyline, he ends up, or Ra's al Ghul, rather. He ends up being the body that he takes over. Kind of this unworthy son because he was weak.
And a bad grandfather.
He's not a good influence on his grandchildren. Yeah. Just not a... As much as I love Ra's al Ghul, he's just not a good dad.
Who's your other ones?
Number four. I'll put it to you this way. What do the five team members... I don't think you're going to know who these guys are. Five members of the Mongrels and Daken, or Daken, I can never tell, have in common?
I have no idea.
They're all related, siblings. They are all... they've all been killed by the same man. And that's their father, Wolverine. Okay. Now, hold on, because this was another one I fought with. Because Wolverine has been a real good father figure or, you know, mentor for, you know, either Jubilee or Rogue, X-23, all these different characters at different points in time. So it's not like he's been bad about it. And Daken, he killed because, or Daken, I'm sorry, I just don't know what to say. He killed him out of almost necessity because, you know, he was forced into it. The Mongrels are five kids that Wolverine didn't know he had that decide to take revenge on their father. He does, and to be fair, he didn't know. He ends up killing them. And only after he kills them does he find out that they were his children. I don't want to call them bastards because bastards, it's just a... Nobody wants to be
rough
a
time.
Bastard. Yeah. He might have killed more of his kids because we don't know if they were his kids. And... He's just a deadbeat dad. Who knows how many kids Wolverine's got running around?
The guy's been around for a while, yeah. So all right, so that's your fifth one, or is that your fourth one?
That's my fourth.
Yeah. All right. My fifth one, Reed Richards.
Okay.
Guy will do anything for his family. He's basically the father of Fantastic Four, looking out for all of them. And great guy, great kids.
Mm-hmm.
Great husband, looks out for his family, protects his family. He may do some stupid things here and there that gets his family into trouble, but what dad doesn't?
True.
So, his good outweighs his bad.
That's ultimately what I came down to. He was almost my number five, actually, of worst dads because of the situations he puts his kids in. But to be fair, he's trying to have fun with his kids, at least, you know. At least he takes his kids out to play, you know.
Another universe.
Yeah.
So who's your five?
Number five, another character like Ra's, who I really like, but it's tough to defend him when it comes to this as a father, is Magneto.
Yeah.
He manipulated Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver to serve as, you know, part of the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. He killed Quicksilver during House of M. Despite the fact, when he finds out especially that Quicksilver set up all these events to give his father kind of his, I don't know, his dream reality, a reality where mutants rule and Magneto is kind of the king of the world. He kills him for that, trying to give his father, you know, happiness. Polaris, I think he's got an idea that that's his daughter, but he's never there. And another one which is kind of odd is Zaladane. Zaladane is kind of an obscure character from the Savage Land. And she is... I don't think he knows. I'm pretty sure he doesn't know that she's his child of a little tryst he had at during a visit to the Savage Land. He comes back and kills her. But again, I don't think he knew that was really his daughter, but we'll just put it out there that he ends up killing her. And... another reason is Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver aren't even his kids anymore. So all this time he's been manipulating these guys and emotionally torturing them as his children. Well, they're not even his own kids. So for that, I pick Magneto. All
right. That's a pretty bad list of fathers.
When I started filling out the list, Well, just the initial list, I was writing it down, and I said, okay, this guy would fit, this guy would fit. So I had to narrow it down, right? I had to pick from 30 different problems that I had on the list. It was, a lot of work went into that one. That was bad. Let's move on to the next, which is Arkham Knight.
Alright, so you've beaten it. I have not beaten it. I'm just a little bit into it. Initial reaction, it's awesome. Mm-hmm. The Batmobile is... Batmobile just pushes it right over the edge for me. Mm-hmm. Just, you can, whenever you can call, you can just summon it, and you can just do whatever in it, just blow things up, just drive around and crash into things, and
it shoots. I mean, the explanation is that it's rubber bullets, really, but, yeah.
But it's just hell on wheels. It's awesome.
Yeah, no, it's pure insanity.
Just a tumbling ball of wreckage and chaos, and it's great.
Well, I really wish I would have gone at least a little bit farther. Just so we can discuss some of the story parts of it. I really liked the game. I enjoyed it a lot. I've got a couple of issues with it here and there.
What are some issues you have with it? Technical stuff?
You know what? I didn't have any glitches come up until I was getting close to beating the game. That's when I started to see a couple glitches here and there. But otherwise, the game worked flawlessly. Surprisingly, one of the complaints I had was the Batmobile. I mean, it's so fun to play as, right? And I had no complaints about it until I was getting near the end of the game. And I understand, because they put a lot of work into developing the Batmobile and making it playable. But it becomes such an integral part to the gameplay that... A, you can't beat the game without it, which is okay. But B, it overtakes some of the challenges. You know, it is cool that, hey, I could use it to avoid having to, you know, get into a tussle with 15 dudes, right?
Yeah.
15 criminals. But then you use it during some of the boss fights.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to ruin it for you.
No, that's fine. I don't care.
But... A lot of those boss fights, I would have rather had gotten my hands dirty than just, you know, blowing the cannon and blowing them up. So it's just, I understand why they did it, and maybe most people actually enjoyed that aspect of it, but for me it was just like, it's a little bit overkill, you know?
Yeah.
One thing I'll praise it for, you probably, because you're so early in the game, but the amount of rogues that were... in the game is actually pretty good. It's pretty decent. A couple of new ones, which was really appreciated. The one that I think will catch you by surprise, because you won't know it's him unless you've got a pretty good idea. You won't know it's him until you're close to solving the case.
Oh, okay.
The combat works great. The story's actually really decent. Almost... It takes you by surprise. At least it took me by surprise, because it stays linear. You're expecting a big time curveball, which there kind of is if you weren't. I mean, you and I were Batman fans, and we've been reading it for years, so we were. I think you'll expect it.
Yeah.
But then after that happens, it's still straight on, and it's like this is almost refreshing, because I don't know. I'll let you see that.
Is it your favorite of the Arkham games or no?
I haven't decided if I like it better than Arkham City. Simply because I felt like I had more to do with Arkham City.
Yeah.
Now, granted, I was marathoning this game. Like, I was taking as much time as I could. Even this past week where I was just working so many hours, I would get home and it's like, I hang out with Gina and, you know, have dinner and everything. It's like, she asleep? I shoot it up. I turn it on and just play for hours on it. I beat it in a week, so that's not good.
You beat all the challenges, everything?
No, I mean, I want to tell you about it. One thing that you will know is the Riddler. Like, the Riddler's always there, 1, 2, and 3. And I've never actually done the complete Riddler challenges in any one of the games. this is, it takes so bloody long, you know. It's like, pick up the trophy here, do that one. And it, there's actually a nice payoff to it in this one.
If you complete all of them?
Yeah. But I cheated and went online, because there's two endings. There's the main ending, or the ending you get to the storyline. Yeah. And then if you complete
everything
in the game, you get a second ending. Little underwhelmed by the second ending. I mean, it was cool, but man, they get a lot of emotional mileage out of the first one.
Alright.
So we'll hit up on it again as you get further
in. I'll probably beat it before the next time we talk, so, or I'll try to.
The main story mode, you could have it done in like that.
Yeah.
For me, it was like, I want to get to the end and feel like I earned it. I want to go capture some rogues in between the missions and try to do all that. Some of the missions are really short. Like, it's just one-offs. You know, you can head out to the mission space and get it done there. Whereas others, it takes a long bloody time. But overall, I mean, it's really good. I think you'll enjoy it. Speaking of video games... your birthday was a couple weeks ago, and I got you.
Yeah, The Wolf Among Us.
The Wolf Among Us, based off of the Fables comic book series. And you've beat it now?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I loved it. It was one of the best games I've ever played.
What'd you like about it?
Just the aspect of getting to choose the Telltale game, where you choose the fate of everything, where you decide how it goes. But also just the look, just the noir feel, the gritty, like, crime drama feel, and it's really cinematic.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like you're playing a movie.
Yeah, yeah. At some points,
and the score, just everything about it.
You get so immersed into it.
I felt like at some points I was like, I am the wolf.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, I'm glad you finally played one of these, because remember when, I mean, this was months ago when I beat season 2 of The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And I was trying to explain to Nick, like, You don't know how it is, man, to play one of these games, and it's like somebody dies and you're like, I could have saved him, you know? You get so emotionally invested into it. So did you ever feel like that playing
the
game?
And I liked that. I liked it a lot. So, and that's why hopefully we get a second one.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm gonna play the Game of Thrones version, like Telltale game, so.
You haven't played it yet, right?
Not yet.
Okay.
I'll probably play it after I finish Arkham Knight.
I just wait until it's done, so I can just do a full sit through. Because I just can't do the wait time. It just drives me insane. I'm glad you liked it. I told you to like it. I knew you would. What have you watched recently?
See, I saw Inside Out.
Mm-hmm. The Pixar movie.
I will say it's my second favorite movie of the year.
Everybody keeps saying, I can't incredible. Believe I still haven't seen it.
I was so surprised at how much I liked it. Like, my favorite movie of the year so far is Mad Max. Inside Out's right
We're still there. There, yeah. I'm still with
Mad But Max. It's... I got emotional. I got choked up in parts of the movie. And then it's hysterical. It's one of the hardest I've laughed in a long time in a theater.
I gotta watch it.
It might be my second or third favorite Pixar movie. So.
Does it... what's your top Pixar movie?
Oh, Wall-E.
Wall-E, really?
Wall-E's my favorite.
Okay. That's surprising. I mean, I liked Wall-E, but it's not...
Yeah, Wall-E's my favorite. I could watch Wall-E whenever. I think it's just beautiful.
Incredibles, is that number 2 for
Yeah.
You? I figured it was. Yeah. Okay.
And then Toy Story 3, but now it might be Incredibles and then Inside Out.
The voice cast is really good.
Yeah, a lot of SNL alum.
Yeah.
A lot of stand-up comedians. It's a real, really good cast.
Gina wasn't too keen on watching it. I think Gina... just because she works with the company, she just gets enough of Disney at work. But we went to go pick up my brother a PS4 at GameStop, and the guy was just talking to us about the movie, and he's like, "Yeah, I took my daughter." He said, "I effing hate Disney. Sorry, kids. I effing hate Disney, but I really liked it." And I said, "Well, maybe we do have to go out and check that out."
It was I saw it with my mom and my sister, and then her boyfriend came along with us. We all went and saw it, and my mom was like, "Why are we watching? She's like, why are we seeing this again?" Like, Spy's out. I really want to watch Spy.
I heard that was really good
too. I really want to see it, but she's like, why are we seeing this? And we watched it. At one moment, I caught her.
Your mom?
Yeah. She was looked like she was... She could have been just scratching her eye, but it looked like her. She got a little choked up, but...
I think I get choked up in almost all the Pixar movies.
So it is really good. I won't be like it could. It's one of those animated movies that'll probably get nominated for Best Picture, and a lot of analysts that say if the Oscars were right now, it might clean up.
Yeah, that's a bad part about.
And
the
it's
Oscars.
Surprisingly, it is a really heavy movie for kids.
I mean, that's what Pixar kind of excels at.
It's surprising how heavy it is, but it's definitely worth seeing. Saw Ted 2.
Mm-hmm.
I was gonna say, I said yesterday, I was like, oh, it's the second best movie I've seen about a talking teddy bear, and then someone goes, well, what about Paddington? I was like, well, I guess never mind. I guess it's the third best talking teddy bear movie I've seen.
Did you see Paddington?
No.
Okay. I really wanted to watch it.
I heard it's actually not bad, but Ted 2, it's okay. I like the first one a lot. I really like the first one, and I like that the first one's just a buddy movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's just two friends. This one, they kind of force feed you a story that's not really relevant, and actually, to me, Seth MacFarlane doesn't offend me very often.
Mm-hmm.
But like, there's something about some of the stuff in Ted 2 that. And it has to do with the story of him, like, becoming a person and civil rights. It's actually, like, I was actually kind of offended by it. I was like, I don't know if I would have gone that route.
Just because of the tone he takes with it, or?
It's like, alright, because Ted, I'm not spoiling anything, it's not like it's a real deep movie, but they tell Ted he's not a person, and they annul his marriage, so he has to fight to become a person, but... And it's like a civil rights case. And they start like comparing him to like slaves and illegal immigrants.
As a joke or?
I don't know. I didn't take it. It was like in one of the court cases, they like compare him to like Dred Scott. And I was like, that's a bit much.
That's kind of pushing the envelope.
Yeah. There. And it wasn't like the scene wasn't a joking scene. And it's like, to gays, they compare them every like minority group or group that's been affected.
That's all happens in one scene.
No, the whole movie. It's like throughout the movie. There's also really funny stuff in the movie, like.
Right.
But that's like the underlying plot. Is like, oh, but he's being compared to this stuff, and it's like, I don't know if I would go that far. You guys should have just made a road movie because that's what originally it was supposed to be.
Yeah, I mean, I know you really liked the first one, and I never got around to watching it. And when this one came out, I said, let me look at the trailer, and I'll probably catch up with the first one and watch the second one. If it's anything like the trailer, and I mean, now that you've spoken to me a little bit about it, it sounds like it's different, but it's like a sequel parody, that trailer.
Yeah.
Like, some of the jokes, and I was like, who the hell greenlit this? I mean, this isn't funny. The trailer isn't funny.
First one's magic. They just struck gold. It's hysterical. And there's a reason it made as much money as it did.
Somebody must have called it funny, but
it's great. The second one. Maybe there's a reason the second one's not making as much money.
Yeah, I guess. I don't. I mean, maybe if they put it on your HBO Go, I'll catch it, but. I just don't have any interest in watching it. Who knows?
The first one, I would watch the first one if you get a chance. Watch that, because it's actually, it's good.
Just me though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I think that's the last thing I saw. I haven't seen Terminator yet. I know you saw it, you said.
Well,
what have you seen?
Let's see, we've watched a couple movies here and there, but some of it not great. The good ones that I did watch were The Babadook. Finally got around to watching it.
So, I still want to see it.
It's terrific. And
scary?
Yeah. 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 No, I mean, when you step away from horror movies, like I used to be a horror movie junkie.
Yeah.
to me, it was, I remember going to my aunt's house, my aunt Lou's, and she would have all the, like, the Friday the 13th movies, and way too young watching those movies. So to me, it was like desensitized and all that. So whenever a good horror movie came around, you really appreciated it. And I, just because Gina doesn't like horror movies, I don't watch them as often. So watching this, it was at one point, I caught myself one of the scenes in the movie where the whole basis of the movie is the Babadook, obviously, but they play with you a lot. Like, can you imagine what he's going to look like? We'll give you a silhouette, and you can figure it out. And at one point, they're it's one of these scenes where they're playing with you, and it's not jumpy scares, right? It's all silence and perspective, right? Like, POV on the camera. So I'm watching the scene where it's in the bedroom, and the door opens, right? And I just, for that particular instant, the way the TV was set, right, and the way I was sitting and looking at it, it felt like you're there, right? And I was using headphones. So the door opens, and I just remember going like, and just doing one of those breaths, like, what's going to pop through? Because it takes you back to being a kid, almost. And I think it's a pretty deep movie, too, because a lot of it, and please make sure to watch it. I know you'll enjoy
it. Oh, yeah, I really want
to
see it.
Is pay attention to, early on, how the relationship between the mom and her son, right? And if you've got kids, and or you know anybody with kids, it's almost like kids can be the Babadook because of just, you know, all the attention they require and how crazy they can drive you. But it really gives you a really good conveyance of what it's like to be a mom. And having to take care of a kid, and it's like, man, sometimes you are like a little friggin' monster, you know, you're a nightmare. And they just play with that really well. And we've got possibly one of the best new movie monsters of the last 20 years.
That's cool.
It's really good. It's really good.
What, you see anything else?
Finally got around to watching Chappie.
What'd you think? I think I'm the only person that I know that likes it.
No, I gotta tell you, I really liked it.
All right, cool. Now I'm not alone.
I don't understand the hate for the movie.
Me neither.
I really don't get it.
I don't get it.
Gina and I actually we watched it together, and we caught ourselves actually getting emotionally invested into the movie.
Yeah, especially at the end.
Yeah, well, and it's, I think it's just the, I don't know, maybe it's just philosophical ramblings of watching things like this, but you start picturing like, well, no wonder AI would hate us. No wonder anything that came around would see humanity and just be scared. You know? And
would you, all right, what did you think of the end? We're going to spoil it.
Let's spoil it.
But what did you think about the whole idea of just, like, finding, like, the soul and, like, transferring consciousness and the search for, like, a soul, like, the search for a soul and, like, what is a soul? And, like, I know it's been touched on in a lot of sci-fi, but the way they did it, and it kind of comes out of nowhere at one point.
Which is one of those things that he does a lot. What's his name that directed it?
Blomkamp.
Mm-hmm. He loves to throw these kind of really, really, really twisty philosophical things into his movie, especially towards the end.
Yeah.
And just, you know, make you think. I think a lot of people probably see that as kitschy, and they're like, oh, come on, dude, really? But this isn't that. It's more of like, make you wonder, make you think, well, what exactly would that be like? So at the end, Chappie's creator gets shot, and he's going to die, and Chappie has advanced his mind, or his CPU, or his processing ability to know how to transfer consciousness.
And someone to move someone's soul from one place to another.
Right. It's heavy to think about, because beyond just knowing how to do so, again, here we are, you know, human rights is that you have human rights despite the fact that now you're just a mechanical being capable of thought. I don't, what did you take out of it?
I mean, it's like the thing is, like, Chappie was a person. Chappie had a soul. Chappie has a soul. Chappie loves. Chappie loves.
The only thing that ruined it for me, and this was post watching the movie, is I was reading a review to try to figure out why didn't people like this movie, and the guy said, well, I just found it offensive because Chappie is a robot version of Jar Jar Binks.
That's not true at all.
No, not really. I mean, I could see why some people would pick out some of the mannerisms and the way he speaks.
But the thing is, he's a kid.
He's a kid, right. Yeah. When you remember that, then you can get past that. I didn't think it was a condescending movie in that way.
No,
at all.
I liked it. I like it a lot.
And it's just a good AI movie. And especially with we'll do a review on Terminator Genisys later. I enjoyed it. By no means is it a deep movie. It's just, I mean, it's summer blockbuster fare.
Yeah.
Good action movie. Stupid as hell, but good action movie. But it's still, one thing that kind of keeps coming up in our lives now is the thought of AI, right? And how we'll develop that, and, you know, how smart will computers get?
I mean, we've already developed algorithms. There's been algorithms that have been developed that, like, there's a computer that can write poetry on its own without a person. Mm-hmm. It does it on its own.
How advanced that gets, I mean, we'll eventually see, but I think we're finally getting to a point where we need to seriously ask ourselves, beyond just the questions of, well, will the prime directive all of a sudden become destroy all humans because they're worthless? Is it really more about, are we going to be so afraid that we destroy it, that we become the Terminator? Oh, new movie concept. No, but, I mean, these kind of things scare people, and I can understand why, you know. You got people building bunkers and loading up guns because they're expecting the apocalypse every other minute because, oh, it's going to be zombies today, or it's going to be, you know, Obamacare tomorrow. God forbid.
One and the same.
Yeah. But it's just, sometimes change is difficult, but it has to come along, you know. I thought it was a good movie.
Yeah.
That's our review on Chappie. anything else you want to touch on?
No, I think that's about it.
Yeah, about the next episode, want to try to do a Terminator Genisys review?
We can do it. We'll probably do Terminator Genisys and cover Comic-Con news.
You want to just do all that in one episode?
Yeah.
Okay, so we probably won't do anything this week, and then we'll just wait till Monday of the other week. That's Monday the
13th,
okay. So yeah, that'll be our next episode. If you don't hear from us this week, well, that's why. But it's nice to be back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Social media.
Check us out on Twitter at 4CSPod. You can also check Lewis at 4CSPod2. And then on Facebook.
Facebook.com/4ColorSequentials.
You can subscribe to us on iTunes as well. So just check us out there.
Yeah, message us or review us or whatever. Yeah, all good stuff. So it's nice to be back. Nice to be here. From Luis Quevedo,
Dominic Siragusa.
This is 4ColorSequentials.